20 minutes to 9. Members present at the table, committee members, Senator Torgerson, Senator Adams, Senator Parnell, Senator Phillips, myself, Senator Sharp, and Senator Wilkin is sitting, joined us at the table since part of the one of the bills that we've discussed previously he was a sponsor of. The agenda as published, I want to point out that SB 273 charitable gaming will be held over till Thursday morning, and we'll start on that on Thursday morning at 8:30. This afternoon at 4:30 p.m. results budgeting will be is scheduled, and that'll be Senator Pierce will be chairing that. 6 p.m. Public testimony. Thursday night. 6 p.m. Thursday, public testimony, and that will continue, scheduled for 3 hours. We'll continue public testimony daily until we have given everyone opportunity to testify every Friday, Saturday, and whatever it takes. Today, the flow, as I would like it to go, is to introduce the CS. Senator Phillips will do that, and then we'll have the drafter go through the section by section on the CS for committee members, and all the participants can follow that. We will then, if Senator Phillips has anything else he wants to call on or anyone else, we will do that. But then we'll set the bill aside and give it to the Department of Education to run their do their runs on it, to how it affects school districts throughout the state, and to do the fiscal notes as they see that this bill would dictate. And then we will come back to the bill for amendments after the public testimony is completed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whenever that is. It probably will not be until Tuesday meeting at 8:30 before we come back for amendments and further committee discussion on it. Senator Adams.
Yes, I just wondered when the public can have their copies of the drafted CS. Is that going to be available for the public?
It'll be available as soon as we adopt it, and it will be sent out electronically to all the LAAs right after we adopt it. Larry has it set up with Pam that got the approval. We can send it out electronically by email, and it'll be available for copying at all the LAAs.
So you're waiting to you won't give it to the public until adopted CS then? Is that it? They should have a copies out here for the public.
It's a matter of duplication.
Well, isn't there some right there?
Right there. No copies. Well, it isn't. They can have copies to follow through on the sectional, you mean?
Yes.
Senator Adams?
Yes.
No, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I think that, yeah, you want her to start up, crank up the fast one? Or do you have... Why don't you set the pile out there and have some more made, as because I think they're going to be in demand.
Mr. Chairman.
Good idea, Senator Adams.
Thank you.
I mean, since I haven't seen it yet either, I'm going to follow along. Senator Torgerson.
Chairman, for planning purposes, are you going to require a three-minute testimony, or are you going to go a little longer for school districts, or public testimony?
Thursday.
I'm going, we publicized it as three-minute testimony. I think probably for school districts we'll go to a little longer, double that at least. So
you might request as many as possible to get us in.
I would imagine. The problem with that is you're liable to have a lot of double dipping from different school districts, and so you're liable to get four or five from the same school district. But I don't have a problem with that as long as we can.
We have a little order here.
Beg your pardon?
We have a little order. I can't hear
you here. Yeah. Can we have a little quiet in here? I can't even hear what the committee members are saying. So, question again, Senator Torgerson.
Well, just if you were going to give an extended length of time on public testimony, if you're going to stick to the three-minute testimony.
I'm going to. I think we publicized it as 3 minutes when we set it up. We'll be a little more liberal in that. But we're not going to get into 15, 20, 30-minute harangues because then other people do not get to testify and they give up and go home. I think it's only fair that at least it be a schedule that people can depend upon that's come to the various LAAs to testify. Any committee members, any other comments at this time? Senator Phillips, you're on.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, State Senator Randy Phillips representing Senate District 12. For the record, we are proposing CS for Senate Bill 36 is the accumulation of various bills in the legislature, primarily Senator Wilkinson's bill, Senator Torkinson's bill, and this vehicle that we introduced a year ago, a little better than a year ago. There's one correction I want to make on the work draft, and it was a talking to the drafter, it was not picked up by our typist, and on page 3, line 2, where it says 3 mils, you should delete the word 3, insert 4. Okay, I just want to make sure for the record. I mean, we know it, but the public doesn't know that yet.
We know it's a bad change, Mr. Chairman.
Let me say, since I've got one teleconference slip here already, we are not taking testimony on teleconference today. This is listen only, set up all the sites have requested. So anyone there, my previous announcement was public testimony will start at 6 o'clock Thursday evening.
Mr. Chairman, let me just repeat myself again. I know the members around the table. But on page 3, line 2, delete the word 3, insert 4. And Mr. Chairman, once we produce this document, the Department of Education will come up with its own analysis, and hopefully the numbers, quote unquote, will be available to the public and to us by Thursday morning, and therefore we'll see the effects of this bill on the various 53 school districts around the state. Secondly, we have Mike Ford, who will later on go section by section on this bill. Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to make my comments very brief and to the point. What we had tried to accomplish here are three main principles: simplicity, equity, and accountability. We believe we've reached those goals. Number one, the simplicity portion of it. Funding is allocated based on per student rather than instructional unit value. Number two, the size adjustment in the formula is based on individual schools instead of quote-unquote funding communities. Number three, the adjustments for geographical cost differences are based on a study, that is the 1998 McDowell study of the actual cost of operating schools instead of household cost of living. Number four and number five points are based on the equity equation. Number four, the required local contribution for municipal districts is set at a 4 mil assessed value or 100% of district state support. Currently, the limit is 35%. Five, back to the equity equation. The required local contributions for the REAAs is set at the equivalent of 4% employment tax. This is the part where those areas of the state that are not contributing locally will now contribute something towards the cost of education, just like the other taxpaying jurisdictions. Number six, the regional educational service areas, or commonly were called REAAs, are established using the boundaries proposed by the model boroughs in the 1995 Local Boundary Commission's quote-unquote model boroughs boundaries report. Number seven, category funding is set at 20% state funding plus funding for intensive needs students. And the last point I want to make here before Mike Ford from our legal services goes through it section by section is that Funding for statewide correspondence studies programs offered by the district is set at 0.65 times the ADM, the same as the state-operated program. Mr. Chairman, I want to emphasize the three basic principles which we're working towards. Is simplicity, equity, and accountability. We believe that this bill achieves those goals. We also understand that it might be some changes through the committee process, and we would like to hear those points from the other parts of the state and take those points in consideration with this bill. This bill is a starting point. It's very the formula presently is very, very complicated, and thus makes it complicated for the legislature to deal with this. But this is a good faith attempt at rewriting this foundation formula, which I believe and others believe is broken right now and it needs to be fixed. This is that attempt.
Senator Adams.
Thank you. I'd like to give a minority's position on this piece of legislation that I just got at 8:20 this morning. In the senator's presentation, that some of the things that he said that was used on the McDowell study, which is the Alaska school operating cost study. One of the problems that we have with that particular study, it is flawed. Anytime you pick up a study that has 8 to 10 disclaimers, there is something wrong with that particular study. And if you use that, then it makes a flawed bill. And basically, on that particular study, it pits rural areas against urban areas, and I think that that is wrong to do. And in that particular study, it also suggests shifts of education resource from rural and difficulty areas to serve in our rural areas. So it tries to shift that funding to urban areas where the economic tax base and the economics of scale is good for that area. And basically, if you go and look at this particular study also, it relies on misinterpretation of the laws that we presently have on the books, which I think is wrong. And you should look at some of those laws because it doesn't say anything about some of the classroom sizes. It also it's the setting of financial targets regardless of education needs and the reality of education delivery system in Alaska. And I think that this particular study that was done by LBNA, it also predetermines direction so that the study then would favor urban over rural Alaska. And basically, when you have these disclaimers, then you get these notions. And you know, I think the public needs to look at that study and submit a list of questions on my statement that I have just made, and we can respond, am I correct or not? The gentleman submitted that simplicity, equality, and accountability is where we're getting at. But basically what we have done is we have forgot that we took the oath of office. And it's on the Constitution, and basically Article 7, Section 8 says the legislature shall by general law establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of Alaska and may provide for other public education institutions. We keep forgetting that sometimes the article, it summons the legislature to provide for free public education. But if you go and look at this piece of legislation that I had a few minutes to look at, and you look at Section 14, 17.410, number 2, it takes away money from a school district, which goes against the grain of our Constitution. And so I don't think that's right. If you do it against this school district, what school district is next? And I think what we are encouraging by the adoption of a committee substitute is a bunch of lawsuits against the legislature and the state of Alaska. And I think that's what's going to happen, Mr. Chairman, on this. And I don't think we're reaching where we want to reach as far as simplicity, equity, or accountability on this. But it is a start. In the Foundation Formula Task Force that was set up, that was chaired by my friend from Fairbanks, I think it wasn't the majority of people around the state says we need to steal money from another school district. but I think they said that if there was inadequate funding for education, to fund it. If there is overcrowding, inadequate classrooms, then we should fund it. And there is sufficient funds around to do this. We can take it from cigarette tax. There's, you know, we can come up with some financial ideas that, to take care of this problem. And I don't think we're going to do it with this piece of legislation, Mr. Chairman. So I will continue to oppose the legislation on this, but I will work with you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Adams. Any other committee members' comments before we go to drafter? Mike Ford, will you walk us through this CS? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Ford, and I'm an attorney with the Division of Legal Services. And excuse me, but I have a really good cold today, so I'll try and make myself clear. I'll just run through my sectional and reference sections of CSSB 36, the F version, as I do that and attempt to give you a brief overview of what those provisions contain. Section 1 is the purpose section. It's the purpose section only for Section 2. And, of course, Section 2 is the rewrite of the foundation formula. And I'll break down Section 2 into the various sections that it enacts and briefly describe what those do. Section 14.17.300 establishes the public school account and provides that the money can only be used for certain purposes, public schools, community school programs, or centralized correspondence study. Section 14.17.400 is a provision that provides for state funding for school districts, and it specifies that that funding is the amount calculated under Section 14.17.410. This section also provides for a pro rata reduction in state funding if the amount appropriated is insufficient to meet amounts authorized under this section. Section 14.17.410 is the actual funding formula. Subsection, it provides that a district is eligible for public school funding in an amount equal to the sum calculated under B and C of this section. Subsection B provides that, breaks down what actual public school funding consists of. It consists of a state share and local contribution, and it provides for how we determine what those two parts are. The state share actually consists of state support less two things, local contribution and 90% of federal funds. If you follow through subsection B1, it contains the elements that are necessary to calculate what each district will receive in state funding. Subsection B2 is the local contribution from city and borough school districts, a 4-mil levy on taxable real and personal property. Subsection B3 is a local contribution from REAAs, and that is the equivalent of a 4% employment tax. Subsection C is the optional local contribution for city and boroughs. That's a set of the equivalent of a 2-mil tax levy or 23% of the state share, whichever is greater. Subsection D describes the local contribution required of an REAA, what that consists of. It's a equivalent tax on services performed in REAAs. Subsection E provides that public school funding cannot be provided to cities and boroughs who don't make their local contribution. Subsection F provides that a similar provision for REAAs, if they fail to make the local contribution, then their state share is reduced by the amount they failed to contribute. Section 1417.420 is a funding provision for special needs and intensive services funding. You'll note there is a blank on line 25 on page 4. That's because it has not been yet established what that number should be. But A1 is special needs funding. A2 is the intensive services funding. Section 1417.430 is funding for correspondence study. This provision breaks down correspondence into three components, the state centralized correspondence study program and the statewide, a district statewide correspondence study program receive one level of funding as opposed to a district correspondence program which receives slightly increased funding, full ADM funding. Section 1417.440 is state funding for state boarding schools. Section 1417.450 is our new school size factor. Section 1417.460 are district cost factors. This section also requires the department to monitor these cost factors and to come back to the legislature with proposed new cost factors beginning in January of 2001. Section 1417.470 contains another missing element here, but it will be the base student allocation, formerly known, I believe, as the instructional unit value. This will be, again, a key element of the formula. 1417.500, we're getting into some provisions that actually are in existing law, which have been rewritten, but which substantively are the same as existing provisions of law. 1417.500 concerns student count estimates when the data is required to be reported to the department. 1417.505 concerns fund balances, limiting the accumulation of fiscal year in fund balances by school districts. 1417.510 is the provision that just requires Community Regional Affairs to assess values in districts, city and borough districts. 1417.520 is authority for the department in consultation with the Department of Labor to adopt regulations necessary to calculate, determine, collect, or enforce the local contribution from REAAs. 1417.530 is a cap on administrative expenditures by school districts. The cap is 950 per ADM multiplied by the district cost factor. And it also provides a mechanism for waiver of that cap at the discretion of the commissioner or the board, excuse me. 1417.600 establishes student counting periods. Those periods within which a district would count their actual attendance and report it to the department for purposes of calculating how much state funding they are entitled to. 1417.610 establishes provisions for distribution of state funding. These two provisions are similar to existing law. 1417.900 is just a provision that provides that the chapter 1417 is not a debt of the state. It requires each district to operate under a balanced budget. And again, provides for pro rata reduction if amounts are insufficiently appropriated. 1417.910 establishes restrictions concerning receipt and expenditure of district money. Requiring the district to keep complete financial records and providing that the public school funding is for general operational purposes of the district. 1417.920 is authority for the department to adopt regulations that are necessary to implement the chapter. 1417-990 is the definition section. Section 3 is a technical amendment, as is Section 4, 5, 6, and 7. Section 8 is a provision that requires reorganization of REAAs into areas that are identified in the Local Boundary Commission report entitled Model Borough Boundaries. Actually, they're reorganized into educational service areas, and educational service area will constitute a new REAA. Section 9 adds additional authority to the to an REAA school board. It allows them by resolution to request organization into a municipality. Sections 10, 11, 12, and 13 are technical amendments. Section 14 changes existing law to allow a school district to implement a tenured teacher layoff plan if the state support decreases in a fiscal year by 3% or more, or from one fiscal year to the next by 3% or more. Section 15 is a technical amendment. Section 16 amends our existing law on when a district has to provide transportation for exceptional children. To qualify that, you have to provide transportation if you provide transportation to other children in the district. Section 17 adds some new language regarding special education service agency to allow a reduction, a pro rata reduction in funding if amounts appropriated are insufficient. Sections 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 are technical amendments. Section 23 amends a provision that concerns child care facility grants. Because we no longer have instructional unit allotments, we now tie the child care grant provision into the same percentage as funding under 1417-460. Section 24 are repealers necessary to implement this the bill. Section 25 is a delayed repealer. Concerns reorganization of REAAs. Section 26 is a transitional funding provision. It basically holds districts harmless for the upcoming fiscal year, 1998. And then in 1999, it reduces that hold harmless to 50%. And then in the third year, you're into the new system. Section 27 deals with regulations, providing that existing regulations that are consistent are remain in effect. Other regulations are annulled. And it also requires the Department of Education to define by regulation the term school, as that term is, of course, essential to many of the elements of the formula. Section 28 provides a two-year transition period for the local contribution from REAAs. The first year that it takes effect would be a one-year contribution, or a 1% contribution. The second year would be a 2%, and then the third transition period would go to the full 4%. Section 29 is simply specifies when the first new proposed cost factors would be required to be submitted to the legislature. Section 30 is going to be a transition section for the base student allocation. We don't have those numbers yet, but there will be, it's anticipated to be a two-year transition process to the full base student allocation. Section 31 requires that for purposes of 1417-450, which is a calculation of our one of our school funding elements, that the smallest a school smaller than 10 ADM is calculated into the largest school in the district. That's our school size factor component. Section 32 is a provision that requires new REA school board elections once the REAs have been reorganized. Sections 33 and 34 are effective dates.
Senator Adams.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I think it's, I'd like Mr. Ford here to go back to page number 3 so I can make it very clear on those particular, starting with number 2 and 3. Basically, number 2, the way it's read, is up to 100, not to exceed 100%, there is a school district that could not get any of its funding by the way this is written. Is that correct?
Well, under paragraph 2, that's lines 1 through 6, if a city or borough school district did not make a contribution, then they are potentially not going to get their support because of subsection E, which says you do not get support if you do not make the contribution. Under paragraph 2 or 3, which is the REAA contribution, if they fail to make their contribution, then under subsection F, the amount by which they fail to contribute is taken out of their state share. That's correct.
And that state share could is equivalent to 4% employment tax on people in unorganized areas.
Correct.
And so you're just segregating here. You just want to tax an area, right, without the rest of the state, by the way this is written.
If
you want to discriminate.
Well, the bill provides for local contributions from all districts, cities and boroughs, as well as REAAs. The contribution in an REAA is the equivalent of a 4% employment tax. That's correct.
So in one of my rural villages that is an unorganized borough and makes $12,000 would have to pay 4% of that money?
If it met our definition of compensation, compensation for services is how we determine, how we calculate what you would be paying.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other committee members have questions of Mr. Ford? Senator Phillips?
For a working document right now, I would move the new committee substitute for Senate Bill 36 as a committee substitute, and then on Thursday, once we get the duly numbers, and the public testimony, we'll be looking at the bill. So therefore, I'll move the committee substitute as a working document.
CS for Senate Bill number 36 has been moved for adoption by the committee as a working document. Senator Adams.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I object, and if I could speak to my objection.
Certainly may, Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I object to this committee substitute. My reason behind is that rural Alaska, including the area I represent, North Slope Borough, we already bear the impact of resource development. It's oil, timber, fish within all our areas. And while most of the wealth flows from our areas to the general fund and to urban centers, what we have before us, and it's that section I pointed out on page number 3, what we have is the Robin Hood attempt to reallocate funding or redistribute tax revenues from one community to another community school district. And I don't think that is the answer to this piece of legislation. Robbing one school district to serve another is wrong. If you start with mine and my particular district, then I ask which other school district is next that we're going to do this. We mentioned equity in the presentation. Measuring equity only on a per capita basis is heavily discriminated against rural Alaska. I don't think that local rural areas and local governments should not be expected to pay for the urban population growth. And that's what's happening in this piece of legislation. As we all know that we in rural Alaska, we also have a high delivery of education and needs, and it isn't one that we need to go and tax the people that I represent all over rural Alaska that we need to go and tax them a 4% tax. I don't think that is right. I think basically that we have adequate funding within the state coffers that we can take care of areas that have overcrowding and over-enrollment, such as in the urban centers. We in rural Alaska would like to help in that. But I don't think we should pit one school district against another, and that's what this piece of legislation does. It doesn't do what the majority want to do as far as simplicity, equality, and accountability. And I will maintain my objections. And I know people have concerns about this because we want to see the financial runs that will come on Thursday. And I know that we'll look for those particular corrections, but I still maintain my objection, Mr. Chairman.
There has been objection. Any other comments? Take the roll, please.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. The CS has been adopted. We will set. Senator Phillips, do you have? I intend to set the bill aside until we get actual figures to work with, to analyze, to see the effect of the legislation, and we will see that those runs are made available to anyone that makes the request to my office or to the Senate Finance.
Also, I make the request that the runs are made available also to all the LIO offices around the state as well.
Yes, Deputy Commissioner.
Chairman.
Yes, we'll make the runs available to everyone, every LIA office that has the facilities available to get the electronic transfer, and then we'll mail them to the others, which will take a little time to get there. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Rick Cross, Deputy Commissioner of Education. We have staff standing by and are prepared to do runs on this bill. We intend to work into this evening and hope to have runs by Thursday. However, without some additional direction from this committee, we're unable to do runs. There are blanks in this bill, particularly on line 4. On line 25 on page 4, there is a blank for the ADM multiplier. The base student allocation specified on line 9 of page 8 is blank. And there are on the transitional allocations on page 21, lines 22 and 23 are blank. If we are to determine those values, and if it is the intent of this committee that we determine those values, we need guidance in terms of what the total amount of spending that's intended to be allocated is provided to us. Otherwise, we're going to show up Thursday with no numbers.
Okay. We'll get that total funding participation from Senator Phillips, Senator Wilkin, Senator
is
Phillips.
The question, the amount of funding for this year. Are you asking that question?
Well, through the chair, Senator Phillips, we need.
I would.
If we're being asked to back into these numbers, we've backed into numbers before, but we need the amount of funding that's going to be provided to the formula in order to back into them. There's also, I received this bill about 20 minutes ago, and I followed through, and I know foundation formula funding fairly well. We may have some pretty significant questions about how the transition language is supposed to work. I would assume that there will be staff made available to us to answer questions while we're trying to cost this, because We want to make sure that we're reading the transition language in the manner that it's intended as opposed to making up our own theory on it.
That's correct, Rick. I will ask that you and your staff work through Senator Phillips and his staff, and then he'll have work out the information that you deem necessary as he put that together and what they anticipated. So, by all means, work very closely with Senator Phillips, and we'll keep that information flowing to enable you to back into it or arrive at it or whatever you have to do to come up with a meaningful run that reflects as close as you can to what this legislation would do.
Thank you, Mr.
Based
Chairman.
On assumptions of total funding and so forth.
Thank you.
Senator Phillips.
We have about a 1 minute, 2 minutes at least.
Just a minute. Senator Parnell, did you have? Okay. Senator Adams?
Yes, I think it's very important that one of the answers we got, what is the total amount of money for education this year? I think
we'll have an answer for you.
Great. I think that I think there's predetermined runs that have been made and to make the bill so it favors urban areas.
I don't know about that, but we'll see what the DOE runs comes out to say. We'll have about a 2 minute at ease here so that they can get in the huddle. Let's call the Finance Committee back to order. Deputy Commissioner brought up some requests for additional information. Senator Phillips, do you have any comments regarding that?
Mr. Chairman, also, I believe the other co-chair of finance could help me on this, too, to give some guidance. After discussing this, we would like for you, where is it? Come on up here. Stay here. What we would like for you to do is to use the FY99 adjusted numbers as a base, and then we'll go from there. From the governors. Need any further?
Through the chair, my understanding is that those would be the FY99 adjusted numbers in the governor's budget.
You want the numbers?
Sure.
$671,677,700, and that'll be used as a base for now.
This does not, Mr. Chairman, as yes. Just as a base does not include public transportation. Just
yes,
that.
That's correct.
Does not.
And does not include the single sites as well.
Additional district support.
Right. Just part of the bill. It'll be part of the bill later.
So. And for any further clarification information, please work with Senator Phillips.
Can I ask him a question?
Go ahead.
Does that give you a sufficient amount of information to go by?
Well,
or direction, I should say, not information.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Phillips, I believe it does. We would like to be able to talk to you or members of your staff, particularly it pertains to determining the values in the transition.
Mm-hmm. By all means.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you working with the with us on this. Any other comments by committee members on SB 36? We'll set 36 aside at this time and take it up again at 6 p.m. on Thursday for public testimony. I do that without letting everybody testify. I'd like to. You ready for SCR 19? We'll now take up SCR 19.
Well,
go on to SCR 19, prototype school design, Senator Wilkins.
Read it easily, I need to get a...
Okay, he's got to grab his file.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adams.
I thought we'd gone through the bill, we just had some amendments that we were going to...
I think there's some amendments that maybe have to be, I don't know who is going to, if there's going to be question of the sponsor on the amendments or not. I was not here when this bill was previously discussed, so I'm a little behind the loop on this one. I don't see any amendments in here, so. Am I missing something? Do you have proposed amendments in here? Does committee members have amendments in their file? Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. I guess I was the only one. The bill has previously been heard, and I see that there are a couple amendments are in the file. Sponsor, did you have some comments you want to make on the...
There should be two amendments, which are fine with the sponsor. One having to do, I think, deletion of elementary from Senator Adams. And right, the other to define more clearly the bond reimbursement committee for Senator Torgerson. And those are help the bill.
Senator Adams?
Yes. Did you want a motion?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that amendment number one be adopted. That is before each member.
Any discussion on amendment number one? Deleting the word elementary on page 2, line 15. No objection. Amendment number one has been adopted. Senator Torgerson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number two, which better defines what the bond council is as it reflects to that part of the piece of legislation.
Amendment number two has been moved. Is there further discussion on amendment number two?
What is
Senator Donnelly?
That A is 1411.
Okay, but, Mr. Chairman, Senator Donnelly, there are two... there's a regular bond council that, or bonding committee that makes recommendations and sells bonds for the state of Alaska. It's made up of the Commissioner of Revenue, the Commissioner of Commerce, and the Commissioner of Administration. The way I read the bill, it could direct that they would be required to make determinations as a prototype school. But in further talk with the sponsor, there's actually Section 14. 1411014 has a special committee that's within the Department of Education that is the grant bond reimbursement and grant review committee, which one of their already designated duties is to analyze existing prototype designs for school construction projects. And the intent of the sponsor is this committee that should be doing the review, not the general bond committee of the state of Alaska. So I just wanted to spell that out so that everyone was clear on that.
Over?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was on the other one. Okay, any other comments?
Okay.
I did move it. Okay. Any objection to number two? Amendment number two has been adopted. Is there any further amendments to come before the committee, Senator? Any further amendments? Senator Adams?
No amendments, but before we move the bill, which is a very good bill, it's just basically, I think that we need to look at the fiscal note, and basically we need a presentation on the fiscal note because of the fact that somebody on the floor is going to say it's indeterminate at this particular time. We need to have a sense that where we're going with the cost of something like this, and that's basically, you know,
we'd like to. Where do you see the cost of this and where it's getting the money from? I think that would be a response that we'd need for our colleagues on the floor.
Frankly, I haven't seen the fiscal note. I thought we were going to do this Thursday, but that's right. This is a conceptual. What we're trying to do here is get more schools for our money, and I put behind you, Mr. Chairman, the effort on behalf of Fairbanks over the last 10 years to have prototypical schools, that has been extremely successful, and. Mr. Mackler, who has been the leader in that in Fairbanks, would talk about the benefits, and I can do that today in his place. And as far as how to handle the money itself, there's been some money out of the deferred maintenance effort set aside in order to explore the idea of having what conceptually is three elementary prototype schools that would be used by people around the state. One of the charges of the Bond Reimbursement Committee that was put in place in 1994 by the legislature, one of their seven charges was to evaluate the prototypical issue and bring to the legislature a plan. I thought the Deferred Maintenance Task Force was a perfect opportunity to do that. I saw it this year in the travels, particularly at Senator Kotzebue's district. I saw a perfect application for prototypical schools. Put three schools on a barge and build the same three schools in three different villages, rather than starting from scratch every time we need a new school. It's not necessary. I can go through the benefits that's been to Fairbanks, but I can say that if we save 10% on every school, that's one school free with 10.
Mr. Parnell.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilk, I think most of us probably around the table agree on the concept of prototypes. My question, it really does relate to the fiscal note, because on page 2, lines 14 through 16, it says, further resolve that the governor is requested to direct the Department of Education to develop prototype school designs for schools in consultation with engineering and architecture design professionals. And while a resolution doesn't have the force of law and he can ignore us with a resolution, if we're requesting him to direct DOE to develop prototype school designs, in consultation with engineering professionals, this is going to cost something. And we can tell them how much we want them to spend if we have a fiscal note on it. Otherwise, they can come back to us next year and say, well, you told us to develop prototype schools, and instead of the three that you came up with, which we thought were going to cost $10,000, $20,000, we had to spend $400,000. I mean, we just need some better direction, I think, with respect to how much it's going to cost, and what DOE's position is on what they'll do if they're requested by the governor, or what. I'm just concerned over that.
Comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, we had a meeting with the Bond Reimbursement Committee, their quarterly meeting last week. It's my thought that group would be charged with the effort to develop the prototypical designs. They would then quantify what it's going to cost to do that and go to DOE, because the Bond Reimbursement Committee doesn't have the authority to spend money. DOE has to spend it. Bond Reimbursement Committee would be the group that would organize and ask for the appropriation. That's a group made up of two legislators, two people from the Department of Education, three professionals. So it's a broad group, dominated, I guess would be the word, by DOE. I frankly have a bit of a problem. I'm concerned turning that amount of money, there's $3.9 million set aside for the prototypical effort. People that have talked with me said we can do it for far less than that, but let's say for the moment it's $1 million. I think there needs to be some oversight on how that money is used, and the oversight would be these seven people on the Bond Reimbursement Committee.
But he doesn't, Mr. Chairman, but he doesn't have to. I mean, this is a resolution. It has no force of law. It's just that the governor is requested to direct DOE to consult with. I mean, that's, maybe it's not a concern, but I've missed the earlier hearing, so I don't know what the administration's intent is here. You know, it'd be nice to have them tell me what they intend to do. And maybe they did that before.
Chairman. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, I look at this resolution as just reinforcing what's already in existing law, which is being ignored currently. Existing law says that this bond reimbursement and grant committee is under Section 3, or Paragraph 3 of 1411.014, is to develop criteria for construction of schools in the state. Criteria developed under this paragraph must include requirements intended to achieve cost-effective school construction, and then a subsection of that is analyze existing prototypical designs for school construction. I think their difficulty in generating a fiscal note isn't the cost of doing their job, which is clearly defined in statute, is the cost, it's the savings to the state of Alaska that we've materialized if we were to use one design for all the schools that we possibly can.
We do have one person on teleconference that would like to testify. Any further comments by committee members before I go to the net? I have Fairbanks on the line, and my information is Mr. Phil Skilbrand is there. Are you there, Phil?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Of the teachers and the students. Don't let DOE buy
Thank you. Do we have anyone else on teleconference? Okay. We'll go off teleconference as far as testimony at this time then. Any other comments from committee members? Senator Adams?
I move that we meet a new committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 19, finance as amended, with the accompanying fiscal note with individual recommendations from committee.
And moved CS for Senate concurrent resolution number 19, finance, with the accompanying fiscal notes. We moved out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection? 19 has moved to rules committee. Next, we have SB 261, which is also discussed in my absence, I believe, and it was held for some possible changes. And I guess there was concern about the financing plan or guarantees or somewhat. I would ask Mary to. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Senator.
Ms. Gore, will you please bring us up to speed on where we are in this legislation?
Thank you, Senator. For the record, I'm Mary Gore from Senator Miller's staff. And what you have before you today is some changes to the original piece of legislation that tightens up the concerns this committee had last week. Senator Dolley and I were just talking about adding another change on Section 4, Number 3, that I think he's working out language for right now. Basically, what we have done is make sure that no money will be appropriated to the group, to the organizing committee, prior to the year 2001 through changes in Section 4.
Senator Donnelly?
Sure. I remember on page 3, line 12, it used to just say that the organization desired a financial assistance from the state, and it's been modified now to specify that the plan they're submitting is a financial guarantee plan and not just a request for money. I would suggest that we also would, I would like to have the language that specifically says that the local organizing committee is going to be making a good faith effort to raise the money on their own, even once the financial plan's in place. And my suggestion would be that on line 19, after the word state there, read the method of financing the game to minimize the cost to the state. We could add language and ensures the local organizing committee uses its best efforts to minimize the cost to the state so that there's an ongoing written responsibility by the local organizing committee to minimize the cost to the state to continue to raise money. And I could say that. Could I just?
Senator Donnelly, so that is the amendment you want to make?
Yes.
And not this?
Oh, no.
Are you moving that and adding the other?
I didn't see another one. You mean there's the CS? The CS?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This was already put into the CS.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
This would be an additional
amendment on line 19.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with the concept of the amendment, but I'd like it in writing, and if the sponsor of the amendment doesn't mind, so we have it on record.
Yep. I agree. I want to make sure the... Secretary has the...
Chairman?
Senator Phillips.
Dave, also in there, I don't know if you want to do this or not, but a definition of best effort.
Yeah. We had...
Mr. Chairman?
We had discussed due diligence, and there were several attempts to incorporate that concept, which I thought would be a good explanation of best effort. Apparently, the drafters refused to put it into the language of the...
So it's not technical.
Well, we do due diligence inquiries in the oil and gas area.
Yeah.
I know. It was beyond me. I was confused by their refusal, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe we should have lunch with the Strafkas.
Senator Parnell,
Chairman, a procedural question. Would you like us to move the work draft and adopt it, or would you rather we wait for Senator Donnelly's changes before doing that?
I think we ought to adopt the work draft, and then, if we're going to amend it, amend it.
Chairman, I would move that we adopt work draft for CS for Senate Bill Number 261, Version E, dated February 23, 1998.
I'm just going to check for a question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adams.
Yes. Mary, on page 3, lines number 30, the legislature may, where is the actual money coming from? Where does you envision the money coming from?
Is it would be up to the legislature in the year 2001 to make that determination.
So you haven't designated any specific funding source. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I remove my objection.
It's been moved that we adopt the CS version E. Any objection? Version E, 22398, has been adopted. CS.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Donner.
We have a discussion of the language that the members would prefer.
Sure. Go ahead.
The original suggestion was that on line 19, that after state, we added and ensures the local organized committee uses its best efforts to minimize costs to the state. If would the committee prefer to say something to the effect that and ensures that the local organizing committee uses due diligence to minimize the cost to the state?
Comments? Senator Parnell?
This is an idea, and it would be nice to have the drafters' comments, but they could also, number four, I mean, they, going along the same lines, they could certify the financial guarantee plan that they've used, due diligence or best effort, or whatever term we want to use. I mean, that may be another approach to getting at the same thing when they submit the financial plan, that they've taken efforts to minimize
state disclosure. The pattern that's laid out here in this section 4 is the initial part of section A is the original presentation of the plan to the state. And then subsequently, they make a series of semi-annual updates to the plan. It would be appropriate to have them certify when they made their semi-annual updates that they've used due diligence or good faith effort to raise as much money on their own as possible. It would probably be best to insert that in the section B there, where they talk about the semi-annual update. But it would be appropriate to have some general provision of the original plan that specified their obligation to use good faith or due diligence to raise the money on their own.
Suggestion, Mr. Chairman, from the staff.
We have from Ada.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Keith Loffer. I'm the Financial and Legal Affairs Manager for Ada. In response to Senator Donnelly's comment, I believe that the due diligence you're talking about is Ada due diligence as opposed to the local committee's due diligence. As I understand the bill, they'll be submitting a finance plan to Ada, which by the amendment would have to minimize state assistance. Perhaps the way to handle your concern, Senator, is in Section D, where it says the finance plan is subject to approval by the authority. Maybe it could be amended to say the finance plan and all updates are subject to the approval of the authority following reasonable due diligence by the authority.
Writing that as he's speaking, Mr. Chairman.
plan.
And all updates.
Did you decide not to put the interest that this might earn as part of the account?
We don't think there's going to be any money in there.
It's
Do I have to repeat that? Could you repeat that again, parts of...
I can try, Senator.
Finance plan and all updates, then what?
Finance plan, insert and all updates, strike is, and then at the after authority, write, insert following reasonable due diligence by the authority. The whole thing would read, the finance plan and all updates are subject to the approval of the authority following reasonable due diligence by the authority.
Once again, Mr. Chairman, the problem here is what we want, I think what I understand, if I understand Senator Parnell and Senator Phillips, and I think I do, and I agree with them, what we want is not due diligence by ADA, but that ADA uses due diligence to confirm due diligence by the organizing committee. And because we want a good faith effort. What we don't want is once we put this guarantee in place, that everybody says, oh, well, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We've got the financial guarantee. So we're not going to, and we, and I know, Mary, that it's a wonderful organization, but we're dealing with the people's money here, and we have to be conservative and act like, you know, it's not our money. Protecting other people's money here, and that's why we want to have, you know, a very reasonable language here about that obligation.
Senator Parnell.
I have a suggestion for some language that we may want to try. We may have to try it on the drafter, but at line 19, after the word state and before the period, we would insert and ensures the local sponsor organization undertakes to acquire funds through private sources, just as a starting point. So that we have the finance plan must include a method of financing the games that minimizes the cost to the state and ensures the local sponsor organization undertakes acquire funds through private sources. I'm not a statutory drafter, but I think that's getting to where Senator Donnelly is working on.
Can you not limit it to private sources?
Non-public sources.
Well, no, because if the government of Sri Lanka wants to give money to us...
To non-state of Alaska sources, or to sources other than the state of Alaska, I don't know.
Non-U.S.
No, that's not.
I'd like to spend all California's money.
Okay. Sean, I think I got something we can look at. Yeah.
Senator Phillips?
I have a little bit of experience. You know, the Arctic Winter Games were held in Eagle River in 96. And in order to start it off, we had the municipality of Anchorage set it up with $100,000 with an agreement that the organizing committee would pay that money back. Now, granted, I don't think the city ever expected the money to be back, but the community and the organizing committee, even though they didn't have to pay it back, did pay it back. You might want to look at their language on the agreement, how they, between the organizing committee, the city of Anchorage, or the municipality of Anchorage, And I can guarantee you some of those assembly guys never thought they would ever see that money ever again. And then we presented them a $100,000 check. Of course, the mayor was stunned that we did this. The first time anybody had ever given the government back their money. So anyway, to help you, I can call the city, find out what kind of language was used, and that is that
had exchange, what guarantees, what standards they use, so on and so forth. It was very, very tough. At the time, we denied it, the state of Alaska, China, and all the requirements, so I can help you on that if you want.
Senator Dolly, do we have an amendment coming?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair.
Chairman, just Senator Torres, are you under a timeline to get this done by certain?
They actually, they wanted it as soon as we could get it to them, and the International Committee. The letter that Mike and Speaker Phillips sent last fall is basically biding us time right now, but the sooner we can get it to them as past legislation, the better. I think for the record, the city, as most of you know, the city of Anchorage wants to, at some point in the future, bid on the big winter games. They are not going to. Private industry in Anchorage is primarily who is behind this. They are not going to let this guarantee be used from the fact that if they are going to go after the big games, they can't have this as a black eye on their records, that they didn't come up with the money for the Special Olympics Winter Games. And they are committed to raising the money. $3 million of the $8 million has been raised to date, and they are continuing to raise money.
For purposes of discussion, I move amendment number one.
Beg your pardon?
Yes.
Before he does it, did we already take care of the bottom half of the amendment, or a portion of it?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
You want to comment before he moves it? Go ahead. Amendment number one has been moved. Any comment on amendment number one? Amendment number one has been adopted. We now have a...
Chairman, I'll object just for let the sponsor look at it for a minute.
Object to let the sponsor
I
take a look at it. Subject to comments by the sponsor's representative. Any
it's fine.
Strong objection?
No, Senator.
Amendment number one has been adopted. Any further amendments? Senator Parnell.
I'm just going to move the bill, Mr. Chairman, if you... I would move CS for Senate Bill number 261 as amended from committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying zero fiscal note.
I hope the fiscal note stays zero forever. The bill moves out of committee.
Thank you.
Mary Gore. 4:30 this afternoon, Senator Pierce has a budget meeting scheduled. And Thursday, as far as my end of the bailiwick, Thursday at morning we have bills. That'll be the gaming bill at 8:30, and Thursday night, 6 o'clock, we'll start public comment on the education bill. Senator Donner.
Chairman, Senator Phillips, which start this afternoon?
Oh, I promise you guys it'll be short.
As far as the gaming legislation, the amendments that was in the file in your folders, we've had some more response. I'd ask affected individuals to come forward with some definition of managers. They have done that. So now and there's one other amendment that the department and the operators and managers have suggested. I'm going to roll them all into a CS because there's 8 or 10 of them, and then those amendments that will be in the folder will be what's in the CS. And that way, possibly it'll move a little quicker. So other than that, that's the technique I plan on using Thursday morning on gaming, and we'll start the comments on a proposed new CS on that.
Anything else come for the committee at this time? We are adjourned.